Today, on The Journey.
I have this deep conviction that every person desires to live a life bigger than they are. Each of us yearns to make an impact that lives beyond us.
Jesus said, "It is the one who is least among you all who is the greatest." Today, Ron Moore leads you on that journey to greatness, which lies just down the road of humble service. Also, we're offering for a gift of any amount Ron's booklet titled, A Biblical View of Sexuality. Its scriptural references and relevant instructions celebrate God's gift of sex and encourage its proper use. You can get yours at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message titled, Humility on the Journey.
When people do things for the right reason, when you demonstrate an attitude of service, even when it puts you behind, you step above a low shelf life of self-centeredness and self-direction and self-absorption, and you enter into a higher level. A countercultural level, a revolutionary level of living. And the impact of your service goes far beyond you, like a drop of water in a pool. The ripples just carry out beyond your life. And you'll never be able to measure the full significance of that act of revolutionary service. We're starting a series of sermons we've titled Servolution. The name speaks for itself. Our desire is that God stirs each of our hearts with a revolution of service. And we pray that that revolution of service spreads like ripples far beyond us. See, I have this deep-seated conviction that every person truly desires to live a life bigger than they are. I believe each of us yearns to make an impact that lives beyond us. I'm convinced that true believers desire to form powerful partnership, joint venture with the living God in order to make an investment that outlives them, that outperforms them, and reaches into a new generation. I believe that most people, when the last amen is said, and their family and their friends walk away from their grave, I believe most people don't want their life impact to end there. That they want to make certain that they left their kids something more than money that the average kid will spend in 2 years' time. That they will put something in their hearts, a demonstration of revolutionary service that they didn't tell their kids about and just didn't tell others about, but they demonstrated it in their life. Isn't that what you want to do? Isn't that the legacy you want to leave? This type of service is taught to us and demonstrated for us and expected of us by Jesus Christ. It's not optional in the Christian life. It's not something that would be really nice to do if we ever find the time to maybe get around to it. It's not something that is nice when other people do it to you. This is a service that Christ expects if we're serious about following hard after Him. Now here's a question I want to deal with as we start this series. What ignites that type of service in the heart of a believer? What's the spark? Where does that type of revolutionary service start? Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 13. And before we look at God's Word, let's just pray and commit our time to Him. Father, today we begin a time to look into Your Word and to see what You have taught us and told us about Your expectations regarding service. I pray, Lord, that You would speak deeply into each of our hearts. I pray that You would help us to begin today and work our way through this series of sermons changed, overtaken by You. I pray that if we enter this with any self-centeredness or self-absorption or self-direction, if we have any what's in it for me attitude, I pray that You would break down those walls in our hearts and our lives. And Father, I pray that we would be those who demonstrate what it truly means to stoop down and carry others around the bases, even if it means we lose the game. Bless Your Word to our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 13, verse 1, it was just before the Passover feast. And Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Now, at this point, Jesus had been with His disciples for 3 years. They had front row seats for every sermon He preached, every miracle He performed. And they were there for every late night discussion as He explained the significance of the day's events. And now, as His time on earth is drawing to a close, He has a significant truth to drive home. Look at the end of verse 1. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. Before that night was over, Jesus would be arrested, He would be beaten, He would be mocked, He would be flogged, He would be nailed to a cross. And there on the cross, He would willingly give Himself as a sacrifice for your sin and my sin. And far beyond the excruciating physical pain He would suffer, there would be a spiritual moment where Christ Himself would put on His shoulders all the sin of the world. Now, we say that often, and we easily glance over it, but just think for a moment. On His shoulders, Christ put the sinful thoughts you had this morning. On His shoulders, Christ put every critical spirit. On His shoulders, Christ placed the gossip expressed last week. On His shoulders, Jesus died for the unkind, sharp words that pierced your mate like a sword. The pornography viewed. Jesus died for that. The adultery, mental, physical. Jesus died for that. Dating couples, you went a little too far last week. Jesus died for that. All of our sins. Don't glance over that when He said Jesus died for our sins. All of our sins committed in the past, in the present today, and in the future. Jesus died for them. He showed the full extent of His love. Look at verse 2. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Now let's stop there, because John makes a very important point. John points out Judas as the prime example of one who can hang around Jesus but not truly follow Him. You can put on a pretty good religious show, Judas did, and still not love Jesus. It can seem like you're making some sacrifices. It looked like Judas was, but he really had no part of Jesus. 6 days before, Judas had been with Jesus when a woman had taken a very expensive bottle of perfume and broken it and put it on the feet of Jesus. And it was Judas who said, "Why would she do that? We could have taken that money and we could have given it all to the poor." But John makes the commentary back in chapter 12. Judas didn't care a whit about the poor. He was the keeper of the treasure. And he used to dip in and get out what he wanted. See, Judas was all about himself. Self-centered. Self-absorbed. Self-directed. You can hang out around Jesus and still not follow him. And that night, Judas would betray his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. As Jesus and his disciples walked in the room that night for the Passover, they would have seen a pitcher and a basin and a serving towel. A long towel that would have been wrapped around a waist and then the bottom part of it used to dry feet. In that day, sandals were customary and the roads were dirty and sandy. And so by the time you walked any distance, that dirt would collect on your sweaty feet. Also, when you ate, you didn't sit at a table like we do today. Instead, you reclined on your left side at a table about a couple feet off the ground, if that, and you ate with your right hand. And so with that arrangement, your feet would be fairly close to somebody's face. Not a pleasant thought unless you had your feet cleaned before the meal. And so if you were going to invite people over to your house, they would have walked over, they would have had their feet exposed to the dirt, and you would have had a servant there at the door, and that servant would wash your feet. By the way, this was not the job the servant stood in line to do. It was the lowliest servant. It was the servant who drew the short straw, or it was a servant in the master's doghouse. But that night, there was no servant. For whatever reason, that assignment had been missed. And Jesus and his disciples had walked from a little town called Bethany, about 5 miles, to Jerusalem. So no doubt their feet would have definitely needed washed. And each disciple, one by one, walked past the pitcher and the basin and the towel. And they took their place around that U-shaped table to have the meal. There was no way they were going to stoop down to wash their own feet, much less the feet of someone else. They were content to eat with filthy feet. And they took their positions around the table. Now look at verse 2. When the evening meal was being served, that's important because now we know the disciples, not one of them said, "Okay, man, if no one else is going to do it, I'll go do it." The evening meal is being served. And so notice what Jesus does in verse 4. He got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus took on the form of a servant. He took off his outer garments. He just had his undergarment on, which we're going to learn later was made out of one piece, seamless garment. He took on the form of a servant. And he wrapped that towel around him. And with his hands, he began to wash the disciples' feet, even Judas, who would betray him. And he dried their feet with that towel. Now, reportedly, no one said a word. They were shocked that Jesus, their master, the Lord, God in the flesh, would stoop down and take the lowliest form of a servant, the lowliest task. No one said a thing except for Peter. Look at verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" The construction in Greek is very important. The pronoun for "you" and the pronoun for "my" are put together to show contrast. It could be translated like this. Peter asked, "Are you my feet going to wash? Are you the Lord of glory, God in the flesh? Are you my dirty feet going to wash?" Verse 7, Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." You see, Jesus was beginning a two-part humiliation that night, taking on the lowliest servant for his disciples, and then becoming the sacrificial lamb on the cross. But Peter replied, "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Again, in Greek, it's interesting, a double negative. You shall never, my feet, wash forever. You can't wash them today. You're not going to wash them tomorrow. You're not ever going to wash my feet. You understand that, Lord? Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you'll have no part with me." And as he often does, Peter quickly changes his tune. "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Look at verse 10. Jesus answered, "A person who has a bath needs only to wash his feet, not his whole body. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not every one of you." Now, when Jesus had their attention, as he stooped before them to wash their feet, he drives home the truth that he has set by this act. Look at verse 12. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done?" he asked them. "So you call me teacher, rabbi, and Lord, or master, and rightly so, for that is what I am." Now notice he changes the order of that. "Now that I, your Lord, your master, and your teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I've done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." And look at verse 17. "Now that you know these things," now that you've got it in your head, "you'll be blessed if you let it move from your head to your heart, to your hands. You'll be blessed if you do them." Culturally, there's no need for foot washing. Jesus is giving a deeper lesson. He doesn't want us just to come and go through a ceremony. He wants this to be the attitude of our heart. It's the issue of our heart at home, at work, at church, wherever you are. It's the question, are you willing to humble yourself by serving others in the most lowly, most unassuming, most sacrificial way? Are you willing to sacrifice your time? I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of things going on. But Jesus asks, are you willing to sacrifice your time for me? Are you willing to give your money? Oh, sorry. Are you willing to give God's money in ways that He wants you to use it for His kingdom? Are you willing to spend your energy? Now, there are a lot of Christians who love to serve as long as it's up front and the lights are on. Believe me, I know all about that temptation. But servant towel service is being willing to do anything for anybody at any time, even if it doesn't quite fit into your agenda or your status or your position. So when the Lord of glory stoops down to wash feet, then we're pretty much out of excuses, aren't we? Revolutionary service begins one person at a time. When we have an attitude that Scripture teaches throughout, not to think more highly of ourselves, but to be willing to sacrificially serve in any way, God calls us for that moment. Got an assignment for you. Read John 13, 1 through 17. And then pray that God would give you this revolutionary, this counterintuitive heart of service. Where you would say, Jesus, if you're willing to do that for me, if you're willing to show your humiliation by washing feet and ultimately by hanging on a cross, then I want to give my life to you in a significant way.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. You know, it doesn't take a long look to see how sex-saturated our culture has become. Whether in television shows and movies, on billboards, or at the mall, one thing is certain. Our society doesn't hesitate to put sexuality and sexual topics right in front of us. But where is the church in this discussion? Far too often, Christians remain uncomfortably silent about sexuality. Parents are reluctant to talk to their kids about purity. Men and women, who desperately need accountability, keep their sexual struggles to themselves. And churches often avoid these difficult issues entirely. But because God created us and created sex as part of the human experience, we must talk about this vital topic. We need to know what God has to say about it and how we can apply those truths to our lives. To that end, Ron has written a thoughtful booklet called A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
We're involved in this series of sermons we've called Servolution, talking about revolutionary service in the kingdom of God and what it means to give and live sacrificially in the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, living beyond yourself, being involved in something that will outlast you, living for, and if need be, dying for, because we are here today because many believers have died for Christianity throughout the ages. We said servolution begins with humility, and we saw that Jesus was willing to stoop before the disciples and wash their feet, and He said, I leave an example for you. This is the type of humility it's going to take. You're going to have to stoop before others, and you're going to have to wash their feet. You're going to have to serve them in sacrificial ways. Servolution is fueled by worship. This is not self-directed, self-absorbed thing we're doing here. This is fueled by our worship of Jesus Christ. And today, here's what we want to see. A servolution is not something you just talk about or pray about or think about or reflect on or think maybe one day I might just get involved. But if you're truly involved in service, you are truly involved in action. Servolution spreads through action.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. Also, we want you to have a copy of Ron's insightful booklet titled A Biblical View of Sexuality. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. That's ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron again next time as we walk together on the journey.